Have you ever thought about the worst thing that could happen to you? I think about that stuff all the time. As a parent, I couldn't imagine losing a child or getting blindsided with a terminal diagnosis way too soon and getting arrested for a crime you didn't commit. I would say that has to be right up there among those other things, too. What you're about to hear is Crystal Weimer's real-life nightmare. She was convicted of a murder she didn't commit.
You hear about stories and things like that until you actually, like, go through it and live it. You're like, wow, things like this really do occur and happen. Like, you think about them, but you don't think about them.
From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. Crystal's story illustrates a frightening reality in Pennsylvania. If you get in trouble and can't afford an attorney, the odds are stacked against you in Fayette County. Today, I want my lawyer. Keystone Crossroads reporter Lindsay Lazarski reported Crystal's story.
Can you just introduce yourself?
My name is Crystal Weimer.
And where are you from?
I'm originally from Connorsville, Fayette County, PA.
One night, in her early 20s, Crystal Weimer went to a party at her sister's house in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, about 20, 30 minutes from where she lives. At the party, she ended up meeting up with her cousin and a young man, also in his early 20s, named Curtis Haith.
My cousin, Douglas, he had come up Uniontown. He was friends with Curtis, and that's how I knew Curtis.
You know, they're hanging out, having beers, and eventually decide that they're going to go back to Connellsville.
Curtis apparently wanted to go home later on in the evening, maybe 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and because he had things, I guess, a party or whatever. So we dropped him off, like, at the Arch Cafe.
And that is the last time Crystal Weimer said that she saw Curtis Haith. Early that morning, police get a call from Curtis Haith's neighbor. They find Curtis Haith out on his yard with a gunshot wound to his cheek, and he's beaten to death. And since Crystal Weimer was one of the last people who saw Curtis Haith that night, police immediately begin to question her.
So when they came up, my mom's the very next day in Uniontown, I was sleeping. And my cousin's like, Crystal, the cops are out here and they want to speak to you. So I'm just like, oh, just give me my shoes. And, you know, I regret that because you know how you get a gut feeling and you're just like, you know better. Like something wasn't right.
And so why was she a prime suspect?
So after she says that she dropped off Curtis Haith at the Arch Cafe, she actually went back to Uniontown and ended up getting into...
We had like an argument, me and my ex-boyfriend and stuff, that night.
And she says that that fight got physical. She had a bloodied lip and she had some dirt or soil. When police saw her with a fat lip and dirty clothes, they became suspicious. The blood on her clothes was tested, and it turns out that it was not Curtis Haith's blood, that it was actually the boyfriend. She wasn't charged with the crime, and the case pretty much went cold until about 3 years later, in 2004. There was a jailhouse witness who was willing to testify against Crystal that she was a part of this crime. She was charged with third-degree murder, conspiracy, aggravated assault, and a couple other charges. This jailhouse witness, he eventually recanted his story. He said that a police officer had told him to write that Crystal Weimer was involved in this case.
So the charges against her were dismissed.
Yes. And then 5 months later,
September 27, 2004, and, you know, knocking on my door.
And she's charged with the same crime.
Crystal Weimer, come on, it's time. Come with us. Here you go again.
And this time, the charges stuck. She needs a defense attorney.
You know, I didn't have $50,000 for a paid attorney.
She went with the public defender. the trial, the prosecutor had a number of pieces of evidence against Crystal. They had at least two jailhouse witnesses who were willing to point the finger at Crystal. There was a forensic dentist who testified that a bite mark found on an autopsy photo of Curtis Haith matched Crystal Weimer's teeth. Another key piece of evidence against Crystal Weimer was the soil samples that the prosecution brought forward. Remember, I said that she had gotten that altercation with her boyfriend and that there was some dirt and soil on her clothes. So the prosecution was basically trying to place Crystal at the scene of the crime through the soil samples.
So how did her public defender refute the charges?
The chief public defender worked with assistant public defender Mary Spiegar, who has since died. Her public defender didn't really have a good scientific way to look at that soil and examine those soil samples. What she did was she called the Miracle-Gro or Roundup hotline to try to see if she could get some information about soil.
Thank you for calling the Roundup Consumer Support Line. If you are calling in regard to a medical emergency, press...
So wait a minute. What does Roundup have to do with this?
That is an excellent question. So the lawyer was actually using them as a resource. She's calling the hotline to see if she can find out something about soil composition instead of getting an expert. After all this evidence is presented, the case goes to the jury and they come back and they find Crystal Weimer guilty.
I was in shock. Like, I was numb. Like, you can't explain it. You can't. There's no words for it.
And she's sentenced 12 to 25 years in prison. She went through the appeals process. Each one was denied. She wrote letter after letter to anyone who would listen.
Senators, representatives.
Eventually, after almost a decade in prison, one of Crystal Weimer's letters landed on the desk of Neelam Sanghvi.
I am the legal director at the Pennsylvania Innocence Project.
Sanghvi's desk is covered in letters, and you can see they're handwritten. Some are block print, some are, you know, cursive. You can tell a lot by these letters, and out of the thousands that Sanghvi got, this one stood out to her.
It's just this consistent refrain of, I'm a mom of three girls, I didn't do this, I need to get home.
As they began to actually investigate the case, each piece of evidence that the prosecutor brought against Crystal Weimer began to fall apart. That bite mark that we had spoken about earlier.
10 years later, the state of science regarding bite mark analysis has really changed.
The expert forensic dentist recanted his story and said that his analysis was actually junk science.
You can't use it to identify somebody as the biter. You can use it to say, this person definitely did not inflict the mark, but you can't do it the other way.
And what about the soil?
And so the Innocence Project actually hired an expert who could analyze the soil samples.
Oh, as opposed to having a part-time public defender who is calling the Roundup hotline to get information?
Exactly.
So one of the things that we did was to get a geologist to look at this and tell us, you know, this is not a valid comparison. If you're going to do some soil comparison, you need to, first of all, take samples from everywhere this person could have been.
And the jailhouse witnesses also recanted their story, putting Crystal at the scene of the crime. So their entire case fell apart.
It was relief after all the years being in there. It was just like, wow, finally, like it's finally over.
Crystal Weimer was exonerated in 2016.
So we're talking 15 years.
And 12 of those she was locked up.
So this brings up the question if her defense was adequate or not.
I spoke to the Pennsylvania Innocence Project about that. And they said that, you know, if they were defending Crystal from the beginning, from 2004, that they would have made a lot of different choices.
But then it's part-time. They have very little funding. There's very little technology. They don't have Pennsylvania State Police that they can go to get their own soil analysis, for example. Like, what do you do when you don't have a roster?
Remember, there's only one chief public defender. Everybody else is part-time. There was another potential misstep that Crystal Weimer pointed out. She believed that the first time she was tried, the case should have been dismissed with prejudice, meaning she couldn't be tried again. Her public defender didn't push for that, though.
They should have never been able to harass me for the rest of my life at that point. But the attorney didn't specify that.
I checked in with a number of different attorneys who said that there's no real guarantee that the judge would have gone for that. The story that we did was part of a larger series from Keystone Crossroads. And one of the starkest findings that I came away with this is that even as the crime rate and criminal caseloads have gone down generally in Pennsylvania, the burden of public defenders has only gotten heavier. From the timeline that we were looking at, 2008 to 2015, we saw a 27% jump in caseloads of public defenders.
How representative is Fayette County and its public defense compared to other counties in Pennsylvania?
In Keystone Crossroads analysis, we found that Fayette County is actually the middle of the road in their budget and resources compared to other areas in the state. It's really a patchwork system. If we look at Philadelphia, the city has a robust system, but if we go to more rural areas in the state, they're really struggling with resources and manpower.
So how's Crystal doing now?
She's trying to rebuild her life.
You know, my oldest daughter is still angry at me. You know, her puberties and school and education, just being without her mom. Like, you know, you can't replace stuff like that. The damage is already done. I can't take it back.
It's a struggle. She hasn't been able to find work. She has a lot of anxiety that she could potentially be ripped away from her family again.
You know, we'll go to a store and I just bust out crying and, you know, I got to go back to my car. It's just, it's still a lot for me out here. And I'm trying, like, I'm getting a little better, but it's just a lot.
And she's doing the best she can to stay positive and to start her life again.
I know, someday it'll be over, but it might not never be till I die, you know, and I am gone in a way.
Thanks so much, Lindsay.
Thanks, Annette.
And that's it for the show. The Why is produced by Shai Ben-Yaakov and myself and distributed by WHYY in Philadelphia. Our engineers are Mike Villers, Diana Martinez, Al Banks, and Adam Staniszewski. Our news director is Eugene Son and assistant news director Katie Culinary. Sandra Clark is WHYY's Vice President of News and Civic Dialogue, and John Musoni is Assistant Vice President of News and Civic Dialogue. Special thanks to intern Kelsey Hansen and Ish Quintero, who wrote our theme music. We'd love to know what you're thinking. You can email us at thewhy@whyy.org. You can also find us wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to review and rate us. Those things really help. We'll be back Monday.